When we go through times when we're particularly aware of our differences, I think it's good to remember that we're not on opposing teams. We're on the same team. We serve the same God, we believe in the same Jesus, and we're Quakers together. Sometimes when we're particularly aware of our differences, it's good to stop and ask, how did we get on opposite sides of the table? Do we really belong on the same side of the table? Because in fact, I think we have much that unites us. We gather as a people called to follow Jesus and to live faithfully as followers of Jesus. We've experienced the presence of Christ in our midst. We know the transforming power of God that changes us deep within. And we have told stories of God's work. We've told stories of God's miracle in our lives. We've felt held by God at times when we didn't know way forward. We didn't know how to go and what the next steps were. We recognize that we are all ministers, that we're all released to live out our callings as we are led. We encourage and support one another in this spiritual journey, aware that we can't do this alone. We delight in reading and studying Scripture and find that Scripture is instructive for our present lives. We're living in the kingdom of God, united to others who also live out the kingdom. Others beyond this place, around the world, we stand connected to people who love God. And while we have hope eternal, we see our focus on how to do kingdom living this side of heaven. We're accompaniers in this sod together. We walk together. We journey together. We are Quakers. And as Quakers, we believe that we all have place at this gathered table. But God speaks to every single one of us. And none of us, including me, none of us has greater access to God than any other. We all have direct access to God. But the truth is that none of us hear the full and complete message perfectly, and we all hear in part. We all hear imperfectly. And that means that it's important that we hold the pieces of truth together about God's message so that we can see the fullness of what God is saying to us. We don't want just a little piece. I want a little crumb of God, thank you. No, I want all of God. And we gather and listen together and listen with others because we're connected. And it's when we come together in community and that we can assemble those pieces that we begin to see a greater share of the truth. Which is why it's so important that we are in spiritual community with other gathered listeners. But it only works if we stay together, committed to honoring every voice that is present with us, giving every voice value, and committing that we will each be willing to bring our peace as God leads and as God speaks, refusing to silence myself. It's easy to assume that the disciples were of one heart and mind as they followed Jesus, 12 disciples, that they were a band that worked together with Jesus. But I love what Colin Saxton, who was our former yearly meeting superintendent, said. He said that among those that Jesus called to walk alongside him as disciples were a zealot and a tax collector, bitter enemies in that culture, bitter enemies. But they are together as members of the disciples, a wild-eyed political zealot hoping to reclaim Israel's land from the hated Romans, and a traitorous tax collector, a Hebrew who had sold out to Rome in order to get rich. And Jesus called them to be a part of his disciples. And then this is the part that really spoke to me when Colin said it. He said, I'm sure that Jesus might have had to sleep between those two some nights as they're out and about, that our humanness is really aware of our differences. And yet, God called them both to be a part of His community. And only by God's grace and peace could those two men come out walking arm in arm as brothers. That they were able to put aside their own agendas and biases to find a unity that transcended their diversity. So it's by God's grace, and because we stand together as one in Christ, that we stay together. We are one in Christ, who is above all and over all, in all and through all. And it is Christ that we serve and that we follow. I was struck this week by John Pattison's blog. John Pattison is a member at Silverton Friends Church in Oregon, and he's the author of a book called Slow Church. Slow church is akin to the slow food movement, which says we need to take time to eat and fellowship together and not do this rapid run-through, grab food on the go and eat fast food, but that it's a part of this community culture that we do. And he says we need to do the church the same way, to take time. But he says we do have arguments in the church. In this side of heaven, we will never agree on everything. But that many of our disagreements are about small things. But some of our disagreements are about very big things. And he says, I used to think that the church disagreed too much. That there was too much disagreement in the church. But lately, I've been thinking that we disagree too little. Or more accurately, he says, I'm starting to believe that having hard conversation needs to be part of the day-in, day-out life of a Christian community. That we need to have those conversations that stretch us and pull us. And we need to pull with each other. We need to listen together and be faithful to stay listening and having dialogues and not be afraid of that. God has called us together in gathered community, and we all need each other. We are not homogeneous any more than the disciples were homogeneous. We do have strong feelings and opinions, as well as leadings from God. And we do need each other to listen with us and to gather the full picture, to lay down our sense of, I'm right, and to listen in faithfulness and willingness to grow. Community is not opposed to conflict. And conflict is not inherently bad. That's a thing that I struggle with because I don't like conflict. I want us all to be nice together, and it's a whole lot easier if we think alike. And it's a whole lot easier if I just surround myself with people that think just like me. But then I'm never stretched. I never grow. I need every one of you, every one of you, to help me grow and stretch and learn and see beyond myself. Community is precisely that place where an arena for creative conflict is protected because of our greater commitment to love and walk together in compassion. Conflict is our teacher. It presents the opportunity to find a creative solution. It forces me to look beyond my obvious answer. It forces me to consider another possibility. We need practice in creative conflict. In fact, in our society, we are not practiced in creative conflict, in working through it. We have divided culturally. We got the Republicans over here and the Democrats over here. I don't care what it is. We are divided and we stake out our turf and we push against the other. And you see it all across our land. And it is hampering us in our ability to move forward. And where but in the church? Where but with the grace of God, with Jesus who slept between the zealot and the tax collector, can we find the grace to stay together? We need practice in creative conflict resolution within the community, where it is protected by the compassionate fabric of human caring, by respect and by love. Having difficult conversations allows us to explore those questions even more fully. It allows us to be honest and open, yet willing to hear another's view and understanding. We may not change our minds, and we may not come to agreement. And actually, that's okay. But we are stronger for staying together and carrying the fullness of who God is among us. We are called to live together in reconciled diversity. I like that idea. We're called to live together in reconciled diversity, standing together with Christ in reconciled diversity. Some 10 years ago, Sharon was on a yearly meeting task force with a group of folks that were on opposite sides of an issue. But after meeting together for some time, trying to resolve what they were going to present to the yearly meeting about this issue, they became good friends. They still disagreed, and they probably still disagree today. But they became good friends. The result of their work was to be presented on the floor of the yearly meeting. And a third friend invited one of them to sit with her, but Sharon replied, "I can't. I have to sit with my friend because today, in this meeting, one of our hearts will be broken." To be able to sit together knowing that one of our hearts will be broken, and yet love transcends that. That's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. Another friend said to me that we need to keep looking down. I thought, keep looking down? You're supposed to keep looking up at Jesus. Isn't that what it always says? And then she went on and explained that we're to stand with Jesus in the heavenly places and look down at earth. That we stand with Jesus. So then because I have to put my own twist on things, I thought, it's like standing with Jesus wherever we are. And that we invite Jesus to stand with us and picture Jesus standing beside us. And notice, where is Jesus looking? What is Jesus looking at? And it makes me think of standing with someone and you say, right over there between that and you say, where? And you have to look real carefully at where they're pointing and get your heads kind of close together so you can see from their perspective as closely as not. But that's what we would do with Jesus. That we stand beside Jesus wherever we are. And we ask Jesus, where are you looking? We keep focused with Jesus, on looking at things as Jesus sees them, inviting Jesus to journey with us. We stand with Jesus in our differences, as did the disciples. And from this place of standing with Jesus, we're invited to see others as Jesus sees them, with love and compassion. To see the world through the eyes of Jesus. There was great conflict in the early church. Differences that ran strong and deep. Differences that separated them. And these weren't trivial differences. Differences of theology and of identity. Who are we in God? What does it mean to be the people of God? Differences in practices, how we live that out, what we do, what we think is important to do. Differences in exclusion and inclusion. Who's in, who's out. There were strong differences, and they were tempted to cut one another off and divide, seeing the other as not worthy in Christ. And we read in Scripture multiple accounts of them being called back into community and trusting God. And I want to close this morning by reading one of those accounts from the 14th and slightly a couple of verses from the 15th chapter of Romans. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something that you don't agree with. Even when it seems they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background might assume all Christians should be vegetarians and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. What's important in all this is that you keep a holy day. Keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for the prime rib. If you are a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for the broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God who we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does that leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does that leave you when you condescend to a sister? I'd say it leaves you looking pretty silly. Or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment, facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Read it for yourself in Scripture. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. So tend to your knitting. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, we can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons for whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item in their diet? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion of soil poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sakes. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to God the Father of our Master Jesus. Let us all stand together in Christ with reconciled diversity and love. We'll enter into open worship as we wait in the presence of God and invite God to speak directly to all of us gathered in community.